Well, I would appreciate your prayers again tonight. Very aware of the fact that without him, we can do nothing. And if anything good going to be accomplished, it's going to be at his hand. I'd like to start with a passage in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. It says in the 11th verse, "But thou, O man, flee these things, and after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, fight the good fight of faith, and lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." It says fight the good fight of faith. The word idea of fight is used in a lot of different contexts. We fight wars. There's street fights. There's fist fights. There's real fights, physical fights. It's also used metaphorically. I remember when I was in high school, the cheerleaders would jump up and fight, fight, fight. You know, go fight, win, I think was one of them. Fight is used in that sense. Politicians often use the idea, we're going to fight this thing through. We'll fight it. This says fight the good fight of faith. Yes. And lay hold of eternal life. So I'd like to paint a picture to your mind tonight. And I really believe tonight that if you can get a hold of this, the Lord will bless, that it can help you and help me in life. The picture is that there's a trophy to win. There's a crown to win. There's going to be a reward to win. And it is to be the goal that we're fighting for. The fight of faith is for eternal life. Now, the battle is pitched tonight, and the devil knows what we're fighting for. Our fight, our goal, the whole focus of faith is to get eternal life. We're after eternal life. We want to be saved. We want to make it to heaven. It's set before us. The Lord has set it before us, but he has said, and you can have it by faith. If you fight the good fight of faith, it's going to take a fight. That's a struggle. There is a struggle. We know it. We feel it. There's a struggle to keep faith. And we're to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold of eternal life. So I want that picture to stay before you tonight, that there's a reward, there's a crown, and it's set before us, and none of us has got it yet. But it's set there, and there's a way to get it, and we're to fight for that, and the devil knows it, and he's going to do everything he can to contest the fight of faith. All right? My experience in life has been that one of the things that I've seen in ministry, I've pondered it, I've been perplexed by it, I've even been guilty of it. But the idea is that we can be so easily distracted from our fight of faith. It's really easy as humans to be distracted. From the fact that we have a goal. We have a goal. And that goal is eternal life. And yet in the, let's say in the processes of life, in the instances of life, and we can lose a contact with that. We can lose the notion of that we are really fighting for eternal life. It's our goal. It's what we're supposed to be doing. And sometimes I'm called into situations as a minister to say, here's this situation. And I'm looking and saying from people that's supposed to be fighting the fight of faith, laying hold of eternal life, and they've been distracted by these elements and things that happens, that somebody said something and somebody done something, and this is this and this is this. Instead of fighting the fight of faith, I'm distracted and fighting the impulses of my brother. or I'm fighting the my own impulses. I'm fighting these things. You know, honestly, I think life would be pretty miserable if we didn't have feelings. Feelings is kind of the icing on the cake a lot of times. It makes life worth something that we can feel and the things that are around us and have emotions. What would life be like without it? God made those things in us. But emotions and feelings can be a catalyst to cause us to do something. We move because we feel things. Jesus was moved because he felt compassion. It's not a bad thing to have feelings. Feelings can be the right thing to have. And you can be in the right place and all of a sudden I'm touched by something and I feel it and I move upon it. And it's a good thing that I do. And God can use it. God uses those things to bring people to the altar sometimes. And sometimes the singing that we have, when we sing, and singing is designed to touch elements. If you notice the songs in our book, there's altar call songs. They're not peppy. They don't have happiness. There's tunes and melodies that fit together with the songs. And some of them can even be a little melancholy, but they touch you where you're supposed to be touched at the time. Touches your emotion. So we're supposed to be emotional. The praise songs are uplifting and all that. And you can feel those things. And we're supposed to be touched by that. But you know, what I've noticed in life is, and again, I think this will help us. I noticed that we can get off of the fight of faith onto the fight of feelings. And it can move us to do things that we really shouldn't do and stand in positions that we really shouldn't stand in. I'm thinking of a situation that I knew of one time where a mother passed away. She had a depiction of Jesus on the wall. I noticed they have a heart open and come unto me type picture on there. And a couple of her daughters, one of them thought it should go to her. The other one thought that it should go to her. And they got in a fight over a picture, a depiction of Jesus. Is that as ironic can be? How much more ironic can you get than the expression of Jesus and his magnificent love that he gave for us? And he's extending that out and you get a fight over it. But Lord, help us. It was because of emotions and things that get involved in that. And the devil is in it and he's distracting us from our fight of faith. And sometimes it can be so trivial, folks. This can happen between a wife and husband, and it is so trivial and meaningless that you're dealing around with this stuff and not fighting the fight of faith. And I know my duty before the Lord is to help my wife make it to heaven. I know it, and I can tell others. And brothers, it's going to get married. When you marry her, one of your duties is to help her get to heaven. And I can say all that, and my feelings can get me all the way off of that, and all of a sudden I'm dealing in some kind of emotional thing and I'm not even concerned about my fight of faith and laying hold of eternal life. This isn't unique to our generation. It's unique to, and it ain't unique to humanity. It's throughout all humanity. And I want to point a few of them out in the scriptures, because from the least to the greatest men in the scriptures had an element in them that they lost the notion of contending and fighting for their faith and fighting for eternal life. And I'll mention just in one, there was a man named David one time who was an outstanding man of scriptures. All the kings of the Old Testament are judged by David. Now you can read it. They'll say they're either like their father David or they're not. He was a man after God's own heart. Do you know there come a time that David, the man that slew the giant, the man that wrote the Psalms, the man that done all that, allowed his passions to get him above fighting the fight of faith? His feelings moved him. I want to pick up a scripture in Numbers Not one of the great patriarchs and great men of the Bible. Oh, see, the 20th chapter of Numbers. I'll start with the first verse. It says, "Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation. Then they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, 'Would God that we died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have ye brought up the congregation of the Lord into the wilderness that we and our cattle should die there? And therefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place. It is no place for seed or figs or vines or pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink.' And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle and to the congregation and fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, 'Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak unto the rock before the eyes, before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts to drink.' And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them," now listen, "he said unto them, 'Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock?'" Okay. All right, Moses. You're straying. You're not in pursuit of the ground. God told you something and it was to be done with faith. Great man of the Bible, no doubt about it, a great man of the Bible. But they was chiding him. They was chiding him. They was making fun of him. They was saying, calling him evil where he wasn't any. They got to his emotions. He was stirred by it. And now he starts taking a place that he doesn't have at all. His emotions is working. I'm going to say there's two things that we ought to always consider in any kind of conflict that we're involved in. For one, to realize that I ain't God. And there's a possibility that I have error. And there's a possibility that this is something good for me. David said, "Let him curse." Perhaps God has said, "Curse David." Perhaps there's a reason. Maybe God's trying to bring something to me. That's the first order. And the second order is always this. If it's true, now what? If everything that I think is true, then what? I still got to be godly. If it's all true and you've lied about me and you cheated about me and all those kind of things, what do I got to do now? Lie and cheat against you? What I got to do? Try to get an army against you? What I got to do now? If you've done something, if you've despitefully used me, now what's my duty? Pursue my crown. It's still the same thing, to fight the fight of faith. Don't lose the focus on what we're supposed to be doing. You can look at the world. You can look at the world. I was very impressed by this. I heard it on the news. Some of the news and the guy that shot Charlie Kirk. It's a national deal, so pretty much everybody knows about it. But when the wife spoke, and I didn't hear it. I heard about it. But the wife spoke, and she went through the thing, and she ended up saying to this young man, she said, "I forgive him." There were some people that said, "I won't." But she said, "I forgive him." This was monumental. It destroyed a lot of her life and took a lot away from her. But we're fighting the fight of faith. That bullet didn't have to hit him. God let it. We have to fight the fight of faith. We have faith, not feelings. My feelings is always going to be those things. But there's something beyond that faith. Jesus died for him too. You know, I've hated in my life. You know what that makes me? It makes me a murderer. Because when you hate somebody, you basically is that they're worthless. And I don't want them around. And that's what murder is. I'm guilty. I'm guilty before the Lord. And the Lord had mercy on me. So I can say it to everybody. I'm in the fight of faith. Moses came to this position that he was in, and the Lord told him to get the rod and get Aaron and go get the assembly together. And this was supposed to bring glory to God. And Moses said, should we have to bring, we bring water out of a rock now, Moses? We can bring water out of a rock, God said. Who's the we in this? There's only one person that can bring water out of the rock, Moses, and it's not you. And you stood up there like you was God, and then when I told you to speak to the rock and give glory to God, you smote it because you had an angry spirit. Because they was chiding you and they was rebellious. They were chiding him. Truth. And they were rebellious. That's the truth. And now if it is true, now what do I have to do? I've got to be faithful to God.
Yes, amen.
Say, well, no, they deserve it because they was chiding and they were rebellious against a man of God. No, that's true. They were. But lay hold of eternal life. This passage goes on and says, let's pick it up there. See where I was at there, Egypt. Anyway, it says that Moses, because Moses took the rod and gathered the assembly together, Moses took the rod from before the Lord and commanded him, and Moses and Aaron together, the congregation together with the rod, and to the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. You know, there's an indication in all of this. Do you know hitting it twice denoted fervor? Hitting it instead of speaking to it denoted that he was passionate about this and that his feelings was involved. And he hit it twice and the water came out abundantly and the congregation drank and their beast also. And the Lord spake unto Moses. And I'm going to tell you, there's places like this. The Lord was still faithful to his people, wasn't he? He still was faithful. He brought the water out. But and it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because you believe me not. Believed not? Folks, we're supposed to be in fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. And Moses, the Lord accused Moses of not believing. And do you know he was faithless right there? He was faithless because God had this thing. God had it. Moses didn't have to respond the way he did. God had it. This was God's business. He knew what he was doing. And Moses should have been able to say, Lord, you got it right. I got it wrong. You got it right. If you say speak to it, speak to it. He didn't fight the fight of faith. He didn't believe that that was enough. It's not enough just to do what the Lord said. How many times do we know what the Lord says? Humble yourself. And how many times do our feeling says, well, I got to say something before I humble myself. The Lord said to humble yourself, fight the good fight of faith. You don't have to say nothing to that brother. I'll take care of the brother. You don't have to say nothing to that sister. I'll take care of that situation. I'm telling you to humble yourself here. Well, they need an explanation of why they're wrong. No, they don't. Humble yourself and fight the good fight of faith. You're after eternal life. That's what we're fighting for. And how often and over their messages can go forth and stuff that, and by the time the folks are outside the church door, they start and forget the idea that we're fighting a fight of faith. And we're fighting the good fight and laying hold of eternal life. This is more important than all these things. One scripture says, why would you take a brother to law? Why would you even do that? There's a cause greater than that. Why would you bring a reproach on the church rather than not suffering your own reproach? Why wouldn't you suffer reproach for Christ and chase eternal life than to bring the fuss? Lord, help us. Our emotions and our feelings is the way that the devil gets into us to distract us from our course and what we're supposed to be doing. And we proclaim the great proclamation of Christ in my life, which means I love everybody. I'm a Christian and I love everybody, and I'm willing to forgive and do all those things. And there was those that proved it beyond you. Jesus did it. He looked down from the cross and said, Father, forgive them. They know what they do. Even though they were hateful and angry and murderous and all of those things, he looked down and said, Father, forgive them. But he sent the same Spirit to the believers. Wasn't very long in history before a man named Stephen preached under the unction of the Holy Ghost and laid down a message hard and strong and made them so angry and upset that they started stoning him to death. You know that can bring passions, it can bring feelings, and how dare you evil, wicked, rebellious people treat me like that, and you're all wicked and bad. And he said, lay it not to their charge. He didn't lose the fight of faith. He gained it. He won there in that critical moment. He won the battle and gained eternal life. What a wonderful story. And to think that after that, and in comparison, that if we're not careful, we allow our emotions to get, I'll say this, got my feelings hurt. Lord have mercy. I got my feelings. They do get hurt, don't they? Don't you have to get grace for them sometimes? But that's the fight we're fighting. It's the fight the devil's going to make it happen. The devil's going to bring it into your life. As sure as you're alive, somebody's going to offend you either purposely or inadvertently, or some way you're going to get your feelings hurt. And what are you going to do? First thing you ought to say is there any validity to any of it, and can I be made better by it? Because I'm on a pursuit. And the second of that is if it's all true and all those things, then how am I going to treat them back? Revile them back? What, am I going to be critical against them? No, I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. Do you know we have examples in the Bibles that you can hardly see a moment like it in them, but there was two outstanding men of scriptures. Daniel and Joseph both were so outstanding in their lives that you can hardly put a finger, but most of the other ones you can put a finger here and there in their lives, but this one you can't really put a finger on their life anywhere and say here was Daniel. Daniel was taken from his homeland and took to a foreign land, took to Babylon. It never seemed like he condemned the kings or run them down or badmouthed them or anything. It seemed like he stood in a good place the whole time. And then when his fellow men, you remember when his fellow men was jealous of him, and they made had the king sign a decree by fraudulent means, and he signs this decree, and what was Daniel doing? He was fighting the good. What are you going to do when they say that? Daniel went to the same place he always did. He threw up in the window and said he prayed like he did before. He prayed the same way. He was fighting the fight of faith. I'm going to lay hold of eternal life. I'm going to have faith in God. God can protect and keep me right here in the middle of this situation. The devil's trying to get. You know how the lion's eating Daniel wouldn't have been a loss of victory. You know what would have been a loss of victory? Him cursing the king, or him cursing his fellow men, or him losing it there. And that would have been the loss. It never happened. He kept his integrity, and when the king come to check on him, this was the king that had him thrown in there. He could have said, of all the stupid things to do, king, you sure pulled the top one since I've been down here in Babylon. And he didn't. He said, oh king, live forever. He honored him right there. Because why? He looked beyond the king into the heavenly realm and said, only God can do this to a servant. Only God can let this happen. God had this in control. God seen the devious actions. The devil was trying to make me have hatred in my heart and try to make my spirit bad. And God protected me. Hallelujah. That's what it's all about. For us to keep the quiet, sweet spirit of our lives. And not allow our feelings to move us into these other realms and these other places. I want to tell you, sometimes the snowball effect can be so brutal once it gets started. Yes. A brother offended is harder to win than a walled city. And sometimes they're going on, and I didn't mean to say that, and I shouldn't have said that. And then they say something back, and after a while, they were wrong. And it goes, well, Lord help us. to fight the fight of faith and lay hold of eternal life and to look at these things in a true mind, the spiritual mind, to be able to see. I say it quite often, and I wouldn't claim perfection on me at all. It's all, anything that's any good about me is the Lord, for sure. But I've said many times about the people and their failures, and somebody come up and this one did that or this one did that, I can truly say, with all the faults and failures the Lord's had mercy on me with and my humanity and all that, it's easy for me to say, Lord, have mercy on them. Lord, have mercy on them and teach them. But they don't have to believe it like me. Lord, teach us all. I'm in the pursuit too. Give me faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, to be able to win what we have to win. But the emotions and the feelings that come and what they stir to us. There's another, maybe I'll read some of this one. There's another episode in 1 Samuel, about the 18th chapter. Maybe I won't read all of it. I just want to say some of it. David, 6th verse, 18th chapter, 1 Samuel, 6th verse. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with his tabrets and his, with joy and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played. I think it went something like this. Who has killed their thousands? Saul has killed his thousands. They had answered. It was in a rhythmic. I think the song was going. Anyway, it said they went and the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth. The saying displeased him. Do you know this was this was the beginning of a great downfall of a mighty man? Why? Why? Because silly women come out in the street and danced and sang to his glory too? We have passions and desires. We are moved by things. I have the Lord help check me when the devil comes and whispers something to me quite often. To say this about it, and I say, I won't accept that. I won't accept it. That's not something I'm going to accept in my life. I'm not going to think that way. A way of jealousy or envy against my brother. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. So, had strong feelings. And he didn't get victory over him. He wasn't on a path to win his crown. He wasn't fighting a good fight of faith and laying hold. See? He got himself off into a moment in a place, and it's what consumed him, and it consumed him. Can I tell you something? I have seen people good. Saints, good people, consumed by the wrong thinking, by the wrong thing. They should have let that thing go. They should have got rid of that thing. That was a feeling that I don't need. That's going to drive me to things. It causes a coldness. Do you know they say that 86% or something like that of our communications to one another is body language that we never even understand or realize? And I don't doubt it a bit. By studying and looking at it, I don't doubt it a bit. And it's really hard for me to come up to you, Brother Jim, if I have something against you. And the Lord knows I don't, brother. You're a good one, and I love you a lot. But if I had something against you, you would sense it and feel it because my body language would probably tell you. You'd say, what's going on with that, brother? I can smile and I can do all that. But down underneath, there's something that's going to wear out families. It wears out marriages. It wears out congregations. And it does nothing for your experience in the Lord. It makes you bitter and hard. And that's what happened to Saul here, and it was over envy. It was envious, and he looked at the talents and the giftings of a fellow, a brother, somebody under his control. How foolish, Saul. Do you know all the people killed by David under the reign of Saul would have been chronicled in the Chronicles under Saul? It would all been written under King Saul would have got the credit of having. What a wise man to get somebody like David. He had a soldier. He had a real man. And ironically, do you know that David was said of the Lord that he called him, he was a warrior. He was a man of war. God called him as a man of war. David obviously understood it and was gifted at it and was great at it. He had a gift for it. And ironically, you remember how Saul died? He died in battle. Who had God sent to him in his lifetime to spare him of those things? A very gifted man. That he had let feelings run him out. He let feelings destroy the relationship that God had set up to redeem Saul. It was at the hands of David. And yet his feelings, he didn't fight the fight of faith, because faith would have said, in the realms of God, faith would have said, that's God. It's not David. That's God. The gifting of God is in him. I see God. God has given him to me. God is blessing us. This is God. And he didn't. Because he wasn't fighting the good fight of faith. He began to wallow in his feelings. And this is what's right and what I'm going to make. And I'm going to make it happen. And I'm going to make Israel. I'm going to be bigger in Israel than David is. Oh, Saul, how you lost. How you lost it all. You lost your sons. You lost yourself. You lost your integrity. You lost your dignity. Perhaps your soul. Because you never fought the good fight of faith. On the contrary, there was a man named Joseph, who was a dreamer. But again, remember this. David or Joseph did not make himself, and you don't make yourself, and neither do I. And you can't claim you did. It's God that done it. God gave Joseph certain abilities and giftings. And his brothers, when they saw it, despised it. They despised the favoritism. They despised all of that. Folks, listen, in the realms of humanity, there is always things that's wrong. Okay, and I'll use the example again. It wasn't right to our human minds. It wasn't right at all that Jacob treated his sons in the disfavor that they did. And the values that he gave different ones of that. We would not accept that. Okay. So if you was one of the other sons, what are you going to do about it? What's the remedy for that? Hate dad? Throw your little brother in the well. Throw him in the. I mean, what? Sell him to prison. What's your answer to that? They're always going to happen to you, same as it happened to him or anybody else. There's going to be those kind of things in life. There always is. God is dealing with an imperfect humanity, and so when imperfections all around me and the things are happening into my life, what's my answer? My answer is the crown's waiting for me. Fight the good fight of faith. Yes, I've seemed to be disfavored, but in God I ain't disfavored. God's going to take that and raise me up with that. He's put me right in my perfect place. Daddy might like the other one better, but by the grace of God I will prosper and bless them all. That's faith. That's faith. Give me faith to live in this world and be able to be a witness for Christ right here in this world. I may be handicapped. There's people that's born that way. I don't understand all that. I can't give you the philosophy of it or why it is, but there's people that don't have the same privileges in this life that others. I remember my first wife's cousin, he was born, he had to have crutches all of his life. He never walked. He never run. He could walk with the leg crutches and all. And he had that. And I remember how he used to love to watch me play baseball. Because I'd get out there and I'd run and I'd slide and I'd dive and I'd catch ball and all that. And he'd sit there and cheer and he couldn't run and do all that. And it always touched me that there's a God in heaven, but yet this. Do you know the proper place for him? The proper place in his life is the same as everybody's. There's still a God in heaven. And I'm this way, but there's a reason for it. And I can overcome everything by Christ in this. And I can be an example and fulfill until the day the Lord says, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of the Lord. You fought a good fight. You kept the faith. You finished the course. This is so important to our lives, to quit allowing the feelings and the emotions to drive the way we do things. But keep our eye on the goal and fight the good fight of faith. And don't be disrupted by all these kind of things. So Joseph, you remember this story. They took his coat of many colors. Why didn't the other boys have it? Because his dad favored him. That's why. But so they did. They took it and put some goat blood on it. Took it back to dad and said something happened to him. They put him in there and sold him off. And they took him off into Egypt as a slave. And you remember the whole story of all that. And the Lord's prophecy come true till they all ended up bowing down to him. But now it's turned. Now it's a, yeah, you had power. You were my big brothers. And I couldn't do nothing against you. Couldn't resist you. And you threw me down and you sold me and all that. And you did it. But now you're coming home. Now I'm going to get even with you. Isn't that the way we think? Now come on. Isn't that, even in the hidden recesses, isn't it sometimes we reserve a place to say, if I get a chance. The Lord still knows. You'll never prosper that way. Oh, Lord, help us to fight. Yes, a good fight of faith and lay hold of eternal life. Amen. And his brothers come back. And he had all the power now. Oh, he played with them. Oh, he didn't play with them like I'd have played with them. But he played with them. They could really have some fun with that. But his heart wasn't full of vengeance. He said, you meant it for evil. Which they did. But God never planned evil with it. God meant it for good. He saw the spiritual application to it all. He saw the whole thing. And he ended up falling on their necks and crying. And embracing them back. And there went the nation of Israel. And they made a and down in Goshen is where the great nation of Israel was really born. It's where it came from. I mean, it's where it ended up being prospering. It was because there was a man that was pursuing eternal life. So Lord, help us. King Saul fought his way through all of those things. He envied David. He come to the end of his of it all. There's so many more people, but Saul came to the end of it as a, basically to our minds, as a loser. He didn't do well. I don't want to be that way. So many places in the scriptures you can think about how the carnality of people. Do you remember the passage of scripture? Oh, maybe it's in the book of John somewhere, maybe 21st or something, where I think it was Peter says to Jesus, said about John. Something was going on there with Peter towards John, and he says to Jesus, now, what about this fella? what's this fella going to do? Sound like a little lack of care or something there. A little lack of, what's going on there with Peter? Peter, what's this fella going to do? And what Jesus said, well, if I tarry till I come, what's that to thee? Honestly, what a question. What's that to thee? Peter, if you live all your spiritual life trying to do this, all your saved life like this, you're going to be a mess. Stop getting your emotions on these things. Don't look at John. Look at Peter. What's that to thee? Follow thou me. So I want to end with this tonight and give it to us. I've seen it too many times. Let's fight the fight of faith and lay hold of eternal life. And remember that these fusses and things and all those things, remember at the end of everything that you might, the foot of land that people argue about, the car that they might ride at, or the picture of mom's heirloom or whatever it is, you know, it's all going to burn up one of these days anyway. It's all going to perish anyway. And if I outrun it and it doesn't happen in my lifetime and I leave this world, I'm not going to take no heirlooms with me. I'm not going to take no automobiles or anything else that I thought. I'm not going to take no property or no lands or anything else that, like that. I've been guilty, folks.
in my lifetime, I've been guilty of completely getting off of my focus on fighting the good fight of faith. And in the middle of it, saying, Lord, make me just what you'd have me to be right in the middle of this so that I could come out like you. I remember exactly where I was at one time. And I had been wallowing around a certain issue, and I come to a conclusion. This is what I'm going to do. This is right to do. This is what I'm going to do. And I had convinced myself that I had it right, and it was a righteous thing, and I was going to say the things that needed to be said, and I had convinced myself, and I was satisfied with my decision. And the Lord spoke to me. And he said to me in this way, rethink that decision. He said, why don't you do this? Write this situation like you would write it in a story to glorify God. Yes. I had been reading all this church literature about these people that went through struggles and how they come out on the Lord, and how somebody was hit in the side of the head and he turned the other cheek and the guy was moved by it, and how God worked with people and all that. And I started in my mind this situation and started thinking about actually writing the story of this and how I best could glorify God in it. And when I got through with the writing in my mind and all that, I come to the thing is, thank you, Lord. It ain't what I was going to do. I was wrapped up in my emotions. I was involved. My feelings was in it. But when I looked at it truly by saying, what would bring the most glory to God? I had to humble myself and leave it alone and bring it in a whole different situation. Let God be brought the glory. It's not us that can bring the water out of the rock. It's the Lord. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.